Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Hello?
Hello.
Sorry, I wasn't ready to talk.
No, that's what... you're just getting warmed up.
Yeah, I haven't really spoken at all today, so...
Yeah. No, I was at the grocery store when you texted. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I have to go to that cookout that you avoided today.
Avoided?
Yeah.
Oh.
You're not going to be at?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Because you're busy. Busy guy you are.
Yeah. Mover and a shaker.
You're working full time. Trying to be a pod man.
Pod people problems. They call it the old triple P.
Shit, I'm exhausted from climbing the charts.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
So I've got a gimmick.
Yeah, so... So we're going to do this, huh?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to do are we doing two today? Or are we doing?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can only do one.
You can only do one?
Yeah. I don't have time.
Oh, okay.
I got to go to that cookout.
Yeah, I know that problem.
Somehow didn't end up at.
Well, Chris, I'm going to ask you just go and check your closet.
Check my closet?
Yeah.
Good.
I might be in there.
Yeah, stay.
Yeah, okay. Oh geez, yeah.
You've been there for so long. Why would you leave?
Oh man, I've got a gimmick for today's episode.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. I thought you were operating your entire being on a gimmick. So,
why are you so mean to me?
I don't know. You're layering. It's fine.
No, it's. Why are you so mean to me?
I'm not.
Oh, your whole being is a gimmick. It's a cheap trick.
Well, that's a band.
I'm not going to surrender, Chris.
Okay. What's today's... That sounds like Sesame Street. Today's gimmick is...
Today's gimmick. I found a...
sponsored by Squarespace.
I found a scan of a magazine page that is 63 different ways that Guy Fieri says, man, that's good. So whenever I approve of something, I'm gonna cut you off a hot slice of guy.
Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, just a nice thin roastable slice of guy
from
just,
the closet.
Just so you know, Guy Fieri does not like gay people.
No,
don't even hint, because he wants you to tell him so he knows not to touch you.
He doesn't want to get it.
I suppose. No, there's all kinds of stories about him be like freaking out and clamming up. Like he solemnly rotates his sunglasses around from the back of his head to the front of his head. He finds out that's his protection.
The sunglasses stay stationary, he turns.
Oh, it's one of the magical powers. Okay, that sandwich is a rock star, Chris. There we go. I need to do that instead of laughing. Chris, I have a question for you.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, that's on here. Yeah. That's a Mac Daddy patty.
Hey, do you want to do that thing that we do?
Oh, Chris, what episode is this?
I don't know.
It's 183.
Oh, it's episode 183 of the comedy podcast?
Yeah, maybe. Sometimes comedy.
Those Damn Ross Kids?
Your name is?
I'm Chris.
And I'm Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I got a question for you. What's the difference between mozzarella and mozzarella?
The D-bag that's saying it.
Okay, cool. Because I'm watching a lot of Cutthroat Kitchen, because Netflix decided to give me two new seasons to watch. And
oh, God.
What?
Aren't you glad? That is a show that I actually recommended to you that you took up.
Yep.
It's the one.
No, I took up The League, too.
Oh, I forgot.
The commonality between those is that, like, you came down here and you're like, hey, we're going to watch this.
Oh, I held an intervention.
Yeah, you held a cutthroat intervention.
You don't have enough of this in your life. It's not that you're doing something to excess that's bothering me.
Yeah. No, we just it's a fun intervention, right?
Yeah. I need you tonight. Because I'm not sleeping.
Mm, that's a money hash.
Something about that sandwich that makes me sweat.
It's pretty good. I just got the NXS side of it. Mm. Huh. Yeah, no. Yeah. I just you get some people they can't say mozzarella correctly.
No, they don't.
It's also another pet peeve of mine is if somebody's Italian, they're gonna let you know it. If they're Southern, they're gonna let you know it. Right. I wish that I could identify with anything as much as some of these people identify with their place of birth. Or their heritage or whatever. I've got nothing. I've got nothing like that.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm Italian, but not on St. Patrick's Day.
None of us. All of us have a little bit of Irish in us on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, we do.
Yeah.
Sometimes against our will.
Mm.
Hey, so I reached the end of the internet for me in relation to this show.
Oh, you're done?
No, I hit the Truman Show wall. I found my limit on how far I'm willing to go.
Okay.
So what episode 100 what?
183.
Okay, we found the edge of how far I'm willing to push your uncomfortableness.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that's we're here. And it's actually an old story. It's from 1998.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Brian Stewart was only 10 months old when his father injected him with HIV positive blood.
Oh man.
A dad shot his infant son up with the HIV. The kid is now 25.
Okay. Yeah. Did he immediately take him to the doctor?
No, he did it on purpose.
Right. I mean, just kind of like did both of them like, hey, here's a gift, and now I'm going to take you to the doctor so that you don't immediately die.
Nope, that's not. He was trying to do something completely different. His dad was a hospital technician in St. Louis. He got life in prison in 1998 for maliciously injecting his son with tainted blood that led to full-blown AIDS. He didn't want to pay child support to the boy's mom, his then girlfriend named Jennifer Stewart, when they broke up. Quote, he wrote to her, "You won't need to look me up for child support because your son's not going to live that long."
That is fucking dark.
The judge told him at sentencing, "You are going to burn in hell from here to eternity."
I don't believe in hell, but I kind of agree with that judge.
Yeah. So Jesus. Anyway, the kid's got full-blown AIDS. He's a full-blown activist.
Right.
With a slight speech impediment.
I was about to say as you would be, but not the impediment part, the activist part.
Yeah. So that happened.
Huh.
Yeah.
So the dad, he was sentenced to life in prison. Is he still alive?
Yeah, the dad's still alive.
Huh.
Yep.
So that's
the end of it. That's as far as that's the extent of how far I'm willing to go here.
Jesus.
A dad who shoots his infant son up with the HIV.
Right.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But
so
the kid's 25. I mean, you know, it's good. You know. He's good.
Unrelated. We cannot emphasize enough. Unrelated.
I don't know why that's in there.
It's kind of a low blow in an article that really ought to be just about their, his triumph over one of the darkest things I've ever heard.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you see, the thing about it is he always wanted to be a public speaker. So not only has he overcome what his dad did, but he's also overcome the speech impediment to become a public speaker.
Well, it's like James Earl Jones. He had a stutter.
I thought he wanted to be an architect.
No, he wanted to be a dancer. That was Mr.
Dancer.
T. That was Mr. T.
Great jazz hands.
I mean, Mr. T has a presence and a grace of movement about him that both contradicts his broad physical form and belies a certain amount of inner beauty and inner life.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never seen Mr. T dance. All I'm saying is I would believe that he could.
I'll fight you anywhere, anytime, Rocky Balboa.
You know, you don't have a mohawk like that without having a certain amount of confidence. You have to be able to back it up on the dance floor.
They're on the dance floor.
Yeah, that's one of the darkest fucking things I've ever heard, Chris.
Yeah.
And I listen to podcasts with like people reading from like Bug Chaser forums.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what Bug Chasers are?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Also, yep. Really sad and like not. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to say that there's a certain amount of mental illness involved in that.
Me on a warm night in July.
Yeah, getting them fireflies.
Right.
You're gonna live in a mason jar now. You're gonna suffocate.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I also am into mason jarring.
Oh, that's duckalicious. Yeah. So, there's a lot of things you can sue in life. Especially if you're in America, am I right?
Right.
Nudging you with my elbow. Ha ha. Mm-hmm. These clowns in Congress.
Clown Congress.
Oh my gosh. They keep on trying to tax seltzer appropriations onto this bill.
Is that who decides if you're under academic probation at a clown college?
Yep.
You have to go before Clown Congress.
Yeah, it goes to slam his gavel and just squeaks. You have to give all your testimony on a unicycle.
Stand in the middle of eight clowns who are flowering all over you.
Flowering?
Yeah.
That sounds like a terrible sex act.
Right?
Yeah. Something's gonna bloom. Someone's gonna open up. Scalpel. Huh. No, but if you're in Israel, you can sue God.
Where do you send it?
I don't know. I just think you just like set it outside so it's, you know, exposed to the open air.
It's like a God hole?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like making a wish at a fountain, only what do you throw your lawsuit down like a pit?
No, you just set it out and it gets sucked up into a hole in the sky.
So what do you get? Like if you win?
You know, it's not been proven yet. I think that this is going to be a long game. The plaintiff is named David Shoshan, and he was in Haifa, saying, you know what, these past couple of years, God has been pretty negative toward me, and I don't even want him answering accidental prayers. Like, I want nothing to do with them.
Who's going to enforce this? I mean, where's the precedent?
Well, the Angel Congress. There's checks and balances
Angel
in heaven.
Congress.
Yeah. Hmm. Angel Congress. Yeah.
All right. So what's he want? He just wants him to quit listening?
It's an injunction, really.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds like a waste of time.
Yeah. I mean, like, and he's really just, you know, he's just escalating it. He's trying to get through the proper channels because he put in 10 police visits to get a restraining order over the course of 3 years and nothing. So he had to pursue other channels. But he's just like, you know what, God, just don't back off for like a second.
God, I have a story from my job that I'd love to share, but I can't.
Yeah, I'd rather you didn't share.
Yeah, I'm really not allowed. Yeah. But it's yeah. You can imagine how awesome it is.
Well, you've shared some stories with me. I'm not even going to say anything qualitative about them because I don't want to blow up your spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are definitely stories.
People be fucked.
Yeah, it's it's like angels singing.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right, from the Middle East. An Egyptian government official has blamed the animated Tom and Jerry series for spreading a culture of violence. Nope, no. Not Islam.
not
the one.
Not radical Islam.
Not radical Islam. Or radical Christianity or whatever.
Yeah.
That's not religion. Nope. That's never caused anyone harm.
Yeah, all those times Tom hucked a Molotov cocktail through the front window of a synagogue. Yeah. That was it was a bold episode. Yeah.
He said children see Tomcat and Jerry Mouse beat and blow up with explosives one another, and in their minds they see this as normal.
That's desensitization.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not what they see out the window.
No. It's not that people in certain areas grow up surrounded by it.
Nah, it's not stabbing your dictator while he's laid out on like the hood of a Jeep.
Which one was that?
I don't know. One of them over there. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, there. So it's funny because you look at like where stuff bubbles up. They're obviously 30, 40 years late. 30 years ago, I was born, so that's not even correct. When would people in America have feasibly been upset about Tom and Jerry? Because like even when The Simpsons did it with Itchy and Scratchy, and, you know, Maggie hitting Homer on the head with a hammer. Like that was like a throwback, and that was like what, like 92?
Oh, I don't even know. It's just this is preposterous. It's trying to throw it back on the West.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was about to say something super ignorant. I was about to say, oh, like what kind of cartoons do they have over there? But you know,
see, this is what I think.
They probably have something, but you know, we're exporting a lot of culture. Yeah.
But would you agree with me that you have to practice something in order to be good at it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think there's a difference between talent and skill, but talent is a starting point, and skill is your current point or ending point.
We have this war machine that we need to keep trained and keep active, right?
I mean, I would take issue with need, but okay.
Okay, it's still, you know, if you're going to pay for it, you know.
Okay.
If you're going to have it, you might want to just use it. And so so much like a neighbor who gets a pool and everyone who wants to swim comes over.
Mm-hmm.
We've identified the violence in the Middle East, and they're the people in the neighborhood with the pool. So we come over and play. You know, if you didn't have that culture where it was just okay.
Ugh.
I'm just saying, you know, you started it.
That's incredibly reductive. But I see what you're saying.
You know that Trump is the presumptive nominee.
And that...
you better get used to things like you started it.
Oh, that's a hot frisbee of fun.
I don't make monkeys, I just name them.
I can't so my immediate feeling upon seeing that, I'm gonna pivot to this. I know it's an incredibly tired line of conversation or what have you. Like, nobody needs more hot takes on Trump, right? But like, it's just hot takes on Trump.
Yeah. On USA up all night.
no more words need to be spilled, except I'm gonna do it, so whatever. My immediate feeling when I see anything about him, and this has been the case for about 8 months now, but especially when I saw that he was the only, after Kasich dropped out, it was like, am I an alien? Do I just not belong in this planet? But like, that's incredibly counterintuitive. Or like, it's like, no, I belong here. it's them who are wrong. I don't know. Just like, it feels like it's a crazy town.
It doesn't feel good anymore.
No. I can't. It's getting harder and harder to laugh, and I know that not everybody had the luxury to laugh at him. You know, specifically if he was targeting you with his hate speech and stuff. Like, being able to laugh at Trump is a luxury not everybody can afford. But like, now it's just like, oh god,
it could happen.
It could, and. You know, just like, whatever, it's like probably not an awful lot is going to change. Like, you know, it's probably not going to be the end of the world. Like, it's going to suck for a lot of people, but you know, whatever, just whatever. But it's still right now, you know, with the lack of reality, the imagination fills in the blanks, and my imagination is going some pretty dark places.
It's Idiocracy.
I don't know. It's yeah. Let's say that he's president of Camacho. That was Terry Crews, right? Know,
probably, yeah.
Yeah, Terry Crews played that guy. That was fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Fun role.
Fun role.
It's fun role. You know, that's over the top. That's a home run, buddy.
It's a bowling alley in Paducah.
Mm. It's Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fun roll.
Yeah. Oh, while we are on the political tip here, I'm gonna go over to this while Ted Cruz still has a little bit of cachet, while people still recognize, if not the name, then the face from their nightmares. There's a woman who people think looks a lot like Ted Cruz. She popped up on Maury during the 5-year long campaign, the primary, and she has, you know, those same kind of just the mournful eyes, the eyebrows that are at a 45 degree.
Holy shit.
Yeah, the pronounced nose and just kind of the perma sneer scowl and a very weak chin. You just like if you look at them, especially side by side, it's gonna they cut a similar first impression, right?
That's unbelievable.
I know, right? So there is a pornography site that has a very crass name called X Hamster, which I well, here we go, incognito window. I need to see what their logo is. but X Hamster, they contacted this woman and offered her and her fiance $10,000 to film some amateur pornography.
Okay.
And they released it under the name Penetrate Ted, with Ted all capitalized, which makes it sound like a discarded concept from like an orgy at a TED talk. You'll never believe how many dicks we can fit into this person. Turns out 17. Yeah, no, their logo is just a hamster, which I, you know,
that's a little bit better than guessing how many M&Ms are in the jar.
I suppose. Yeah, but this pornography is out, and they shot it on an iPhone 4, and they didn't know how to get the file off, so they had to mail the iPhone 4 to X Hamster, to the X Hamster headquarters. And they're going to use that money to buy a truck, pay off some debt, and get married.
Oh, God.
What?
I see you. I see it.
You're watching this pornography?
Well, no. There's some stills.
Mm. But, yeah.
the couple enthusiastically agreed to the offer. We want to buy a truck, pay off our house, and we might get married. And $10,000 will make that happen, because all that shit's on wheels.
I never heard anyone say, here's $10,000, go make a sex tape.
Yeah,
that's the thing. You don't expect that voice to come out of that fucking face meat. You don't.
Her fiance says, it's kind of exciting and shocking to know she's famous. She's more famous than Madonna.
Like right now?
I'm with a genuine motherfucking star. Oh, God. Watch it here. Very NSFWMQR.
Oh, the article.
Oh,
the
other... no. Oh, no.
What are you doing?
I clicked the link.
Why'd you
That's
do that?
A shame.
You really shouldn't That's... have done that. That is so inadvisable, Chris.
That is a shame.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
The article that I'm reading concludes with a line from the producer saying, there wasn't any money shot, so it's possible that they might be back on Maury in 9 months.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right.
How would you feel if you were the product of that, and like they had to like sit you down and tell you the story, like, hey, so here's how you happened. There was a lizard man named Ted Cruz.
You look like a lizard man named Ted Cruz. Now we want to see you bang this skinny guy.
Oh, God. But yeah, you don't.
I want to watch you mess lead a pulled pork sandwich.
Oh, you picked the messiest sandwich.
Man, God.
Can't knock the worst.
That's just a shame.
Yeah. I feel like next, I'm taking a bite of the Mona Lisa right now.
We're going to do celebrity mashup.
What?
Celebrity mashup.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do. The Death of Prince has opened up an ugly feud between Sinead O'Connor.
I always hear it as Sinead O'Connor.
Okay, Sinead O'Connor and Arsenio Hall. Prince's death has brought a feud between Sinead O'Connor and Arsenio Hall.
Okay.
On Facebook, the Irish singer Sinead O'Connor accused Arsenio Hall of being Prince's and Eddie Murphy's bitch. Supplying
is that the legal quote?
AKA yeah. Prince's and Eddie Murphy's bitch. Accused them of supplying Prince with hard drugs over many years, adding that she had reported him to authorities and that anyone who thought Prince was not a longtime hard drug user is living a cloud cuckoo land.
If she wanted to blow the lid off of this, she probably could have spoken up earlier.
Hall fired back with a $5 million lawsuit. Arsenio Hall will not stand idly by. Sorry, there's a comma. Hall will not stand idly by while O'Connor attempts to get attention for herself by recklessly spreading malicious vile lies that he engaged in egregious criminal conduct, which falsely links Hall to Prince's death. Ironically, O'Connor's biggest hit, a cover of Prince's Nothing Compares to You.
Well, yeah. She also they ran collabo on some song. I can't remember.
I don't know. Yeah. I just thought that was funny. There's so many different ideas swirling about. Arsenio Hall killed him.
Yeah, but this is 1991 Rose from the Grave.
Right.
Yeah. I would not want to go to court if I was facing up against Arsenio Hall, though, because you know that like you're not going to be able to get any testimony in edgewise after the Dog Pound comes out.
After the what?
You know, the woo, 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 woo.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, doing the helicopter with their arms.
Easily done.
You see... Oh gosh, that's capital T tender, buddy. You see any pictures of Arsenio Hall lately?
Yeah, he's looking good.
He's looking gaunt, I think.
Think it's the meth?
No, he gave all the meth to Prince. No. I don't know. I was sad when Prince died. Not as sad as when Bowie died, but
Bowie?
Yeah, Bowie. Jim Bowie and his knives. And Dram? His many knives.
Yeah. Dram?
Dram Bowie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's liquor.
I know.
Anyway, what do you got? Sorry.
That's all right. No. I've got one of life's many mysteries. I'm gonna pose this to you as a hypothetical. All right, let's do this as a choose your own adventure. You're driving down the road in the middle of Madison, Wisconsin. What do you do? Okay, options are keep driving, you can look, or you can brake.
Look.
Okay. You look, and you see some ways up in the middle of the road, there is some kind of object. It's kind of right in your way, and you're going to approach it within 1 to 2 turns, depending on how fast you move. So do you continue? Do you brake?
Continue.
Continue. Okay. The object is closer. It appears to be some kind of box. What do you do?
Continue.
You roll over the box, and from inside explodes a tremendous amount of human blood. Okay, this is where we break from the actual story, because somebody didn't roll over the box of human blood and splatter it all over their car. Although that would be pretty good, because you would never know what was inside of that. You would never know where all the blood came from. I don't know why that's so funny. So this guy, this 68-year-old guy who's unidentified, was driving in the middle of Madison, Wisconsin, sees a box in the middle of the road, gets out of his truck, goes up, opens the box, sees that it is full of human blood.
Uh-huh.
It's a big box of blood.
Blood box.
Blood box. And he's like, oh, I'm going to take a look at it. And his quote is, it was Forrest Gump who said, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. So
just find a box of blood.
Yeah, just a big box of blood.
But you don't know it's human. Does it say it's human?
It only has a Red Cross logo on the side of it.
Oh.
Yeah, unless they're shipping ox blood. Yeah. It is a big, bulky, bulging box of human blood.
Box blood.
Box of blood.
Oh my
yep.
God.
And so he picked up the box, clearly labeled human blood, and went to the police station. and yes, it was donated blood that was meant for the Red Cross, but the shipment was one box light. They got five boxes when they should have gotten six, and this blood was safely delivered to its final destination. Although,
that's
like
all you can do.
I really like your version better, because I just, you know, just the mystery, because, you know, who knows what's inside of that, like if there's just blood and carnage everywhere,
right?
Yeah.
Speaking of which, let's see how this directs you. There's a flight from the Dominican Republic on Allegiant Airlines, and it's coming to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, here in the United States. Presumably, a bunch of people that are coming back, you know, from vacation, maybe like, you know, family members coming to visit from, you know, their Dominican relatives in the United States. And they hit horrible, severe turbulence.
Yeah, it's, I'm given to believe that there are storms there.
People on the plane suffered bruises, lacerations, facial fractures, and head injury.
Jesus, are they sure the plane wasn't shrunken down and put into a paint can shaker?
One passenger said, I looked over.
I looked over and I saw mountains.
And I saw my mom flying up into the air.
Jesus, didn't they have seatbelts?
One passenger saw a flight attendant's face smash off the cabinets in the back of the plane.
Wait.
Leaving her covered in blood.
Why is this funny? Like, I'm just picturing this being like Airplane or something.
Multiple passengers had their legs and shoes covered in blood.
Good God.
Right?
Huh.
Evidently, the cheese grater wallpaper didn't work out.
No. Nor did the school bus style bench seating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the steel bars that were directly at forehead height. Was that just so, like, if we got into a head-on collision, all the kids would be knocked out? And possibly, you know, it destroys the pain centers of their brains.
Which? A school bus accident?
Yeah. Or the plane.
I don't know.
Yeah. I just always remember leaning forward and resting my head up against the back of the seat in front of me. Because, you know, school happens too early. Sleeping like that, and we'd hit a bump and I would come back like an inch and then bat, you know, forward the other inch, and then, you know, just hit your head on a metal bar.
I did that on a charter bus once when I was too drunk.
you lost neck control.
I just put my forehead on the seat in front of me.
Yeah, because it's cool.
Watch beer cans roll every time they break.
Front to back, front to back,
right.
Yeah, that's also how you should wipe. Yeah, this is kind of like licking a volcano in Flavor Town. Yeah, that's so.
Oh, guy.
Did anything come of that? Like, what was the fucking meat grinder that those people went through?
No, it was just a bunch of people on a plane covered in blood. That doesn't happen every day.
I suppose not. That's the real deal.
I don't, maybe they were all wearing fur. I don't know.
Look at this. While we're up in the air, Chris, are you familiar with the game of Quidditch?
PETA playing bitches.
What?
Yes, it's from the Potter series.
Yes, the Potter Chronicles.
It goes on and on, my friends. It's a game that never ends.
Oh, until somebody catches the golden snitch?
I didn't think it ever ended. I heard that on a different podcast, that there are people that are being born today that are being like only made to be able to be great Quidditch players
in the hopes of eventually ending the game. Yeah, yeah. I think the rules of it were designed to like make fun of sports rules that are over the kind of like specifically like soccer, like, oh, like this, all this, like none of this makes sense that you can win just by catching this little golden ball that has wings and moves very quickly.
Throw the leather balloon through their, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, the leather balloon.
Leather 99 leather balloon.
But so there are people who play this. I think we've talked about this before. There are people who play it almost like field hockey. They run around with brooms between their legs. They have their own World Cup. This has gotten some attention. It's like Harry Potter LARP. And they come up with some rules. I don't know how they handle the golden snitch, if it's like some kind of quadcopter drone. I think that would be the best way to do it. Now some people have decided that the only real way to mimic the high flying nature of this fantastical game is to play it as after they skydive. So I'm looking at a video right now of some people skydiving with brooms in their hands, chasing after some balls, and just trying to outmaneuver each other to grab a hold of the ball.
Works for me, man.
I suppose.
Sounds like a completely different game.
A little bit, because this one definitely has a time limit.
Yeah. The end is coming. So what do you do? Pay another $500 to try again?
I think so, maybe.
That sucks.
Would you skydive?
Hell no.
Yeah, neither would I.
No, I don't even go on roller coasters.
Used to, though, right?
Nah, never.
Oh, I thought you did.
I went on a couple.
I remember going to Cedar Point or whatever, like we were real young. And like you guys heading over to the coasters and I was, you know, over in Bear's Land.
Yeah, no, I didn't ride any real roller coaster. I've never been upside down, Cole. I've hung my head off the edge of the bed and that's it.
Yeah, thrill seeker.
Right.
Yeah. That is ridiculous.
He's a real bottom.
No, I wouldn't, because I just even if somebody paid my way up there, I just know I would not jump out of the plane. I would miss the drop zone by like a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would land in a pool. It sounded like you were about to go to a story. I'm sorry.
I was. Yeah. So I'm addicted to opiates.
Huh?
And I ran out.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Do you have any recourse?
Drugstore and get some Imodium. There are people that are taking Imodium to try to either ease the withdrawal symptoms of opiate withdrawal, or if taken in doses of 10 times or more the recommended dosage, you get an opiate like high.
Oh God.
Yes.
That seems ill-advised, so because don't
Imodium's like having diarrhea.
No,
opiates are like diarrhea.
No, actually, I think what's happening is people who take a lot of opiates are not used to pooping, and so they need to all of a sudden the existence of functional bowels actually becomes a symptom of something greater. So they plug themselves up with Imodium, and like any other physical effect they might be thinking of is more of just like a reminiscence. It's a flashback.
And then I'm high again.
Yeah. I'm high from all the poop that's still in me.
Because of its low cost, ease of accessibility, and legal status, it's a drug that's very, very ripe for abuse.
What's next? Stool softeners? I take both stool softeners and stool hardeners just so I can feel alive.
Yes. The American College of Emergency Physicians news release said taking massive doses of Imodium for a legal high is as dumb and dangerous as it sounds.
I'm just, okay, wait a minute. So let's check this out. Imodium overdose. Let's see what we got. I also misspelled Imodium. Overdose symptoms may include dizziness, drowsiness, urinating less than usual, severe stomach cramps or bloating and vomiting. So it's the dizziness and drowsiness that gets them?
I guess. I don't know. It messes up their heart rhythm, it says.
Oh. Weird.
Yeah.
That's probably the dizziness is fucking with their circulatory system. Yeah. Yeah. Next step is them just sewing their buttholes closed.
You're right.
Yeah. This road's closed now.
Yeah. You know, they started to make a abuse deterrent version of OxyContin.
Like the denature it.
So that when you try to crush it, it turns into a goo.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
And then people just inject it, right?
Well, they figured out a way to cook it. Yeah.
God, these fucking people are, I mean, people, yeah, they have legitimate problems, but these fucking people are like squirrels. They're just going to find whatever way they can to fuck everything up.
Yeah. Ugh. They said, if all else fails, they just do heroin.
Which of those, like,
that's the workaround.
Honestly, which of those is easier to get a hold of now? Heroin or OxyContin?
I don't know. I really don't. I assume both. I mean, I don't know where to go buy heroin. Do you?
Well, I mean, where you live, you just have to walk outside and like ask quietly, and somebody will like roll up in a fucking truck.
Heroin.
Police comes and throws you a bag, tells you be safe, have fun.
Y'all enjoy your night now.
I don't want to catch you on the roads. Oh man, can you?
Oh, I know. Dope sick's a motherfucker.
Dope sick's a dope sick. That's a what is that?
That's when you're going through withdrawal and you get all sick and vomity.
Mm.
Get all choky and die.
Yeah. That's when the flavor jets turn on. They're trying to shut down the flavor fire that they've got in their mouth. Jets.
Yeah, that's what they want. They want Skittles. Flavor jets.
All right.
Sounds like something you put in a hot tub.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
So I will tell them what they can do.
Yeah, do that.
Okay. Yeah. So, we have a new show on the network because we hit a Patreon milestone.
Are you still above the high water mark?
Yeah. We dipped back up. So the end of the month /the beginning of the month is weird because, not everybody's payment goes through, and that affects like that number that you see actually reflects like what we get. And so they can only estimate that up until they try to charge people, at which point, you know, if charges don't go through, that number goes down until the it can go back up, which is sensible. I'd rather know that. That's behind the scenes on Patreon stuff. But yeah, we did go back up above it. And we were going to stop it because just a temporary embarrassment. But no, it's called Monster in My Podcast. 3 times a week, less than 5 minutes, talking about a new Dungeons and Dragons monster. Alphabetically through the monster's manual. It's a lot of fun. Chris, I know that you're shaking your head at me starting a new thing. I like it. I really recommend people go and listen to it.
Monster in My Podcast.
Yep. But for this show particularly, we have the Facebook group, facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids. People share some stories and stuff. Ratings and reviews on iTunes. We've seen this over and over again in the past like month or so. Really helpful. Gets us up those charts. So tough. My arms are just burning from climbing these charts, Chris.
Oh, well, they will.
Yeah. And then,
especially when you're so puny.
I think that, with a Patreon, that is a big help as well. Duckfeed.tv or sorry. Nope. Patreon.com/duckfeedtv is a great way to do that. Yeah. But otherwise, keep listening and tell your friends.
Thank you. Got it.
Yeah, cool. So until next time, sorry, America.
Sorry.